I'm Erin.
And I'm Allie. I wanted my dog to stop eating her own shit, so I seasoned it with crushed red pepper.
And I'm a snow bunny.
And we hate everything.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Is that why the crushed red pepper was by the door?
Have follow-up questions?
I saw the pepper by the door, and I thought, what is this doing here? That's strange. This is usually where Shay's dog treats are.
I was driving home from dog sitting Shay, and I was like, oh, I forgot to move the pepper back.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, they'll figure it out. They'll probably text me. And then I came here to do the podcast, and I was like, what do I have to think about that?
Here's the thing, Allie. I would never text you about that because I would always assume if something is in a place that it's not supposed to be and it seems weird, I always assume I did it. I'm like, I definitely did that.
What would the reason be for putting crushed red pepper in Shay's room?
The reason would be I was walking around the house with crushed red pepper in my hand.
For no reason.
Yeah. Except that I needed it for something and then left it in my hand. And then eventually had to pick something else up and thus set it down. Yeah. These are the kind of things that really do happen to me all the time.
Though. I believe it. And I believe you. So Shay, the whole entire dog. Thanksgiving was just eating her own poop. And I roasted her about it. On my Instagram stories, like any other child that you have. And then someone who, like, has a dog business and, like, professionally takes care of dogs was like, you got to put, like, cayenne or red pepper on it so she won't eat it. So Shay was being a sun dog, and I was like, guess what? Time to go just make
pepper
it rain on some poo. And I was like, this is completely unhinged. It's completely unhinged behavior. She hasn't eaten shit since.
Well, maybe that's why.
Who knows?
Look, I think this is great. It's a great idea. The idea being that obviously she tries to eat it. It tastes spicy and horrible. And then hopefully she won't eat it again. I can get on board with this.
Yeah. Has she eaten it since you guys have been back?
I mean, we only got back like 2 nights ago.
Right.
But no.
That's true. Oh, I should pour our drinks.
She's been so snuggly, though. She did miss me.
Is there a drink for me?
No, not drink for you. Drink is wine.
Drink is wine, not for
drink
Shay.
Is wine. I spoiled it.
Ooh. What are we drinking?
We're drinking wine!
We love wine!
This is my spare Thanksgiving wine. It is Allie Chan's staple table wine for her personal house. We've definitely drank it before because it's my staple. It's Vignetti del Sol, product of Italy. It's a Montepulciano d'Abruzzo.
You know, I don't...
And it's like $8 at Silver Lake Wine.
If I have had this, it's been a very long time.
I drink it constantly.
Oh, man. I thought about my Thanksgiving wine this year, which is Un Litro.
And oh, Un Litro. We drank it.
Un Litro, Un Litro, Un Litro.
It's a really fun bottle. Anyway, here.
Really fun bottle. It is a liter. It's a little more than $8, but again, it's a liter of wine.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe like 10 or something.
This is my standby.
They always have that one at Silver Lake Wine and Vinovore.
And you told me you wanted to drink wine today, and I was like, I got some in my car. I'm feeling lazy.
Thank you so much. I just really needed a beverage.
Yeah.
That would alter my headspace today.
Yeah. How you feeling?
I'm just feeling, man.
Okay.
We had a lovely holiday. Happy Thanksgiving or Indigenous Slaughter Day, whichever one you celebrate or don't celebrate. We had a really nice time, and then we had the good fortune to come back a day before, like, the work week started, so we got to just kind of chill out yesterday, but I think I had a little bit of a rough going back into the work week.
Oh, this was the roughest Monday.
I don't know. It was just, like, a tough Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, we record on Monday, so if you thought we were recording at the moment you were listening to this podcast, it's not true.
I love that you think that we can do this live as well.
It's so cute. Let me have a sip of this wine, though. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It's a solid red.
Sorry. The second hell yeah was when I got the little afterburst.
The little tannin.
You know, I opened a Zin the other night, and then I realized there's a reason I don't really like most Zinfandels.
It's because
it was just, like, too big and jammy and sweet for me. I was like, the first glass tasted really good, and then every glass after that, I was like, no.
Yeah.
No. In other news, just mm-hmm. updates of things that we've talked about. I got a call today. This is maybe also a little bit why I'm also frustrated. So I went through a whole fucking ordeal with, you know, going to this basically a mental health care app.
Yeah.
And then had to like go through all this shit where like I had my appointment and they prescribed something. And then she also said she thought I had anxiety, which I absolutely know I do not. And I was kind of like, I don't know where you got that from this like 10-minute conversation.
Yeah.
But okay. And then I called the pharmacy and they didn't have, she prescribed me a what do you call it?
ADHD medication?
Yeah, an amphetamine. So one of the controlled substances, right? So she prescribed me like the very, very lowest dose of Ritalin. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever, that's fine. I had been kind of thinking I wanted to do an XR or start with whatever. At that point, I was pretty desperate. Mm-hmm. So it took like 4 days for me to figure out that she hadn't like, or she either hadn't called it in or whatever. It was like 4 days before it got called into the pharmacy and I was already gone. So we come back and then I go through this whole thing with the pharmacy of like, well, why aren't you using your insurance? Well, da da da. And they were treating me like I was a criminal who was like trying to have a drug. And I'm like, why would I choose 5 milligrams of Ritalin if I'm trying to sell this shit? It's like, true. What in the world? And so it was like this whole fucking ordeal. And then this morning I got a call from my actual healthcare provider slash insurance company, Kaiser Permanente, saying, okay, great. We've got you. We've got a referral here for you to see a psychiatrist. And I'm like, on the one hand, thank you. On the other hand, no one called me to tell me they'd resolved my complaint that I filed, if you remember, from like a month ago.
Yeah.
On the third hand, which we don't have, but if only we did, it just was like, I just figured out this other thing. And now I'm going to like start over. So then this morning was the first day I was going to take my Ritalin. And I decided not to because I was like, well, if I'm going to see a different provider, I don't want to start this one drug that I don't know if that's the one they would prescribe yeah. first or not. So it's just like it's a good thing overall, but it's also like a stressful thing. And I think that's kind of how my whole day has been. Like nothing has been bad, but like nothing has been everything that is good has also come with some kind of like shit I need to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That's annoying.
That's why I'm excited to drink wine. Allie, how was your Thanksgiving? How's your week been?
Thanksgiving was fine and good and fun. I had like a little Friendsgiving with the usual crew at the usual place. It was really, really nice. My friends are into TikTok now and I like mercilessly roasted them the whole time for being like, oh, wait, no, do that again. I'm like, for a TikTok? No! Liz but brought a tripod. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
A tripod? That's intense.
And then the TikTok got produced and it was really fucking cute.
It's so
and really
cute.
Fucking good.
And you're a star
Thank
of the TikTok.
You.
I found you to be just enthralling.
We try.
It was a very good TikTok.
We try and we try. And then Liz went home and then was like, actually, martini shot, can you like get some footage of the pies? I was like, fuck. You.
This is like when your mom is trying to take a million pictures and everybody yeah. just wants to open the goddamn presents.
Yeah.
You know, like on Christmas.
I don't know. My mom wasn't like really into like take pictures before the presents happened. I mostly thought of my grandmother, Situ, growing up. She was just like at a large family gathering, just like hand me a disposable camera and then be like, go.
Document this entire gathering.
And I would just like I'd make a round, take pictures of everybody and then just like hand it back. That's what I did. But Thanksgiving was really great. Other than that, I had like an existential spiral for I think a solid week.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah, a solid week. And then there was a new Delta variant. I'll talk about that later.
Oh,
and then I had another little dip, but I'm fine-ish now. Yeah. Yeah. It was bad, dude.
Your hair looks amazing, though.
Thank you. I didn't shower.
Wow. Wow, the wonders of not showering.
The wonders of just not touching your skin or hair. And it still
Allie,
looks nice.
It's so nice to be us sometimes.
We both have good skin
I
privilege.
I feel like such an asshole, but like...
Every time!
Yo, I have not put anything on my face in like, oh man, a good like 12 days maybe. Yeah. It feels good.
I haven't washed it either.
Yeah. My hair was, I did shower today, and that, but didn't wash my hair. My hair was rather frizzy, but I think I kind of tamed it. I tamed it for you guys this time.
Aw.
I did it for the pod.
You did an effort.
I did an effort. A small effort.
Aw, that's very cute.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I can't tell which way this is going.
For who should go first?
Yeah.
I was just thinking the same thing.
You know?
Mine's petty.
Mine's a little bigger.
Okay. I'll go first then.
Great.
Let's do some petty bullshit, y'all.
Erin, what do you hate?
I hate Ridley Scott.
I do not want to say the words hate in a public forum to a potential employer.
That's because you're smarter than me.
It's because I recognized how much of a fucking liability I am.
This is so goddamn funny because you are a liability in a lot of ways, like maybe actual legal ways, but I am a liability in like I'll never work in this town again ways.
And like you're fine with it.
But I'm fine with it. Here's the thing. I hate Ridley Scott. I don't really hate Ridley Scott, okay?
Yeah, we don't really hate very Ridley many Scott. Of the things that we say that we really hate on
Some
this.
Some of them we do.
Some of them we do. And the ones that we do, you're like, oh yeah, I also agree and I hate that.
This is the thing. This is a petty hate. And it's not even really, I mean, it is about Ridley Scott, but it's also not. Anyway, Ridley Scott's done a lot of great things.
It's about like Good older job. White men who make a lot of movies.
Yes. Thelma and Louise, like, proud of you. Go you. Excited.
Good job.
However, I'm sorry. I want to start with the headline of this
Did
fucking
article. Did he direct
article.
That movie?
Yes.
He's got two out in like this
yes.
a month in a row?
Yes.
Wow.
Here's the headline. Ridley Scott blames millennials for the last dual box office failure. First of all, why is everyone still blaming millennials for everything?
I don't know, but I also, if that statement was true, yes, blame millennials. We don't want to watch a movie about sexual assault starring Matt Damon.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know?
That was the first, my first thought was like, Ridley Scott blames millennials.
Not
I'm like,
that.
Well, if you wanted millennials to watch it, maybe you wouldn't have put Matt Damon in it. Like, we don't care about Matt Damon.
Matt Damon said the F word.
We give zero fucks about him.
Matt Damon just discovered that saying the F word is wrong
bad.
And bad.
Like, he's not for us.
Did you see The Last Duel?
No, I did not.
Great. I saw The Last Duel. It was, I wouldn't say a waste of time because I really enjoyed watching this movie and then thinking about J-Lo watching it sitting next to her boyfriend, Ben Affleck, and then having to be like, babe, that was so good. You did like such a good job. I'm really
such
proud
a good
of
job.
You. Anyway, so I might be a Good Will Hunting truther. And allegedly, Matt and Ben wrote this fucking movie. They replay the sexual assault three fucking times because they need to cover it from everyone's perspective. And what I did appreciate is that, like, in every shot they got, they were like, yeah, she was raped. She was really raped. It was really bad. I mean, the stakes were, like, do this duel or, like, you and your wife are dead or, like, the rapist is dead.
Whatever.
And it was based on a true story, so I, like, I Googled it.
I just, whatever. I mean, I love Nicole Holofcener.
And I love Jodie Comer.
Okay, we're going to get to Jodie Comer, because, first of all, it's like, if you gave a shit about millennials, you wouldn't put Matt Damon, you wouldn't make a movie, like, by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Sorry, not for us. secondly, it's millennials' fault it didn't do well at the box office? Well, I'm sorry. Are millennials not kind of the prime demographic of, like, moviegoers? I mean, we're, like, late 20s, for this kind of movie, late 20s to early 40s. Like, is that not what you were aiming
we're
for?
We're all
like,
obsessed with Game of Thrones. And also, we're in an entire global pandemic, and you did not release your movie on streaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, look, was this for, who was this for? Who was this for?
No one's risking their
was
life to go
for
see the
millennials?
Last duel, but apparently it was me.
Yeah, it was you. You did. You risked your life to go see the last duel. Okay.
I risked my life to shit on
a
movie
with
my friends.
Here's the thing. I just can't. I can't with this fucking bullshit.
What do you say?
I'm so over it. Here's a quote. Well, first of all, he's like, Disney did a great job promoting it. All right, fine. Whatever. Suck Disney's dick.
Is it a Disney movie?
Apparently. Who knew? Probably 20th Century. I don't know. I'm guessing. Anyway, What I think it boils down to, what we've got today are the audiences who were brought up on these fucking cell phones. This is a direct quote. The millennium do not ever want to be taught anything unless you are told it on the cell phone. First of all, Ridley.
You sound 112 years old.
112. Like, to be fair, I did look it up. He's like 83. Which is old.
Also.
But still.
If you want to blame our cell phones, who has a landline? Like,
no one.
Like, all of us have to really be in touch with our cell phones because that's your phone? End of sentence. You're not leaving anyone a fucking, like, your movie didn't do bad because we don't have answering machines anymore. Like, okay. That's, they're not related.
I'm so sorry. I don't have a service that answers my calls and writes them all down and tells them to me later. Yeah. Okay. Here's the other thing. We are prime mid-millennials. Mm-hmm. I did not grow up with a fucking screen in front of my face. I got my first cell phone, which was a Nokia brick.
I had a brick.
That only could play Snake when I was like, I got it when my brother started driving. So when I was like 15.
Oh, I got mine in eighth grade. So I think we got ours in the same
year. Around the same time. Yes. And I had a Nokia brick. We didn't text. We couldn't look shit up on our phones. Like, I didn't get an iPhone until I was like late college or maybe after college.
If you want to do late millennials, that's my little brother. And he had like... was really inundated with, like, TV and, like, maybe had, like, CD-ROM games, but, like, it wasn't, you know, an iPad baby.
Yeah, and, like, he's basically saying that, oh, it's the phones, it's the phones. I'm like, if you're gonna, like, shit on an entire generation, at least get it right. You're supposed to be shitting on Gen Z, okay? Now, look, I
and
love Gen
extra Z. Extra not seeing your movie about
Yo,
sexual
they do not
assault
care.
Starring Matt Damon.
They give zero fucks. They're like, Matt Damon, I don't know, my grandparents like him, question mark? Mm-hmm. Like, fuck off. So, get it right if you're going to, you know, malign an entire generation. Get it right. You got the wrong one. this is just like, oh, here's another one. Okay. I cannot with this. All right. But here we go. Also, by the way, sorry, this was my other thought while I was reading this goddamn article was like, okay, so the millennials and their phones, and yet Dune broke like a million fucking records. So we all went to see Dune. We just didn't go see your movie. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think it had anything to do with our phones.
I know. I think this person, I truly think it's ego. I think this person is like, but I'm the greatest director who's ever lived.
Oh, we'll.
It's like,
yes.
You're in a pantheon of a lot of other people who direct a lot of films.
Who are great. And there are a lot of millennials who are big Ridley Scott fans.
And
they
I'm
love Alien.
So sorry, you like maybe you didn't make your budget back. I literally did not look
at
the numbers.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. It made $27 million carrying
like,
a $100 million budget. So, but yeah, we all make mistakes. You're Ridley Scott. They'll keep giving you fucking money to make movies.
You
Cry
don't have
a
an issue,
river.
And then you had another movie come out within the next month.
Right. So okay, this is where it gets like a little bit nastier. There is a misdirection that has happened where it's given the wrong kind of confidence to this latest generation, I think.
What kind of confidence is wrong?
I'm sorry. We have a kind of confidence that says that we are allowed to like what we like and spend our dollars where we want to spend them and not watch sexual assault movies if we don't.
No, because
like
when he grew up, there was like one movie in the movie theater
and
that's
everybody
the
had
movie
to see
you
it.
Went to go see. And there weren't very many television channels. So I think he's like blaming us being spoiled for choice on not wanting to pick The Last Duel. In which case, you cannot blame us.
Mm-mm.
Like, you're not going to fault us for having choice and then not choosing you. That's really weird and petty.
It's completely weird and petty. We have the wrong kind of confidence, Allie. So, yeah, oh my God.
As opposed to the right kind of confidence, which is unearned white male confidence?
Correct.
Great.
That is the right kind of confidence.
Good.
We have the wrong kind of confidence because those young girls, we'll get to this. Okay, so.
Oh, no.
Particularly with, so he basically said he thought that the time period and the action would be a draw for younger audiences, you know, because we love Game of Thrones.
Yes,
and like
Lord of the
Wheel
Rings.
Of Time and whatever bullshit, which we do. Particularly with Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Adam Driver, and this new girl called Jodie Comer.
Oh, new girl? Emmy Award-winning new girl?
Oh, I'm sorry. New girl, beloved by millennials, in fact, is a millennial. I'm sorry, we're going to say fuck all millennials, but have you heard of this new girl, Jodie
and
Comer?
And Adam Driver, who's also a millennial. Also, yeah. Jodie Comer, who's been crushing it since Mad Fat Diary. I've been on the Jodie Comer train for what feels like a millennia.
Jodie Comer, who is an adult woman... Adult woman Jodie Comer, who is, by the way, incredibly famous. Yes. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just we millennials who know who the fuck Jodie Comer is. And you, I don't know what he is, the greatest generation? I don't know what they are.
Is he?
He's not a boomer. No, he's way too old to be a boomer.
Oh, wow.
Or is he the, what is it, the lost generation? Whatever. Fuck them all. The point is, you are going out of your way to malign all millennials while also praising millennial Adam Driver and millennial Jodie Comer, who, by the way, we all fucking knew about.
It wasn't praise for Jodie Comer. He fucking dissed her by calling her a newcomer.
Oh, backhanded compliment.
She has so many trophies for acting.
Oh, my God. So many trophies. So anyway.
Like, did you not watch Killing Eve? Did you think this
did
you think this random woman walked in and had like an amazing audition and it was like a fluke?
Allie,
because you
really
know
think,
she was offer only for this.
Do you really think you watched Killing Eve?
Do you think she's a newcomer when you made an offer only bid for her?
Oh, she did. There's no way she auditioned
for
this.
They offered her and she was like, pay me more money. This is a stupid movie about sexual assault starring Matt Damon, like the fucking rest of us.
Oh my God. I just can't get off the fact that this man never watched Killing Eve. And you know who does watch Killing Eve? Fucking millennial women.
I watched the trailer for this, and me and my friends were like, this is completely ridiculous. Affleck has a weird... Affleck has a weird bleach job. Matt Damon has, like, the strangest hair and makeup ever. Adam Driver has all of his consistent Adam Driver tics that he uses for every single fucking character. Jodie Comer is the glue that holds that movie together. The rest of it is a disaster. And it's really... funny.
So the thing is, like, he gets to like the end and like I, you know, he gets to the end. No, this article comes to an end. I don't know how long he fucking went on. Probably hours.
Yeah.
But there is like, there's something in this that I kind of dig, but also it's such an entitled white male point of view. You know, he says you can't win all the time, which maybe you should have led with that.
True.
Perhaps instead of blaming everyone else for why you didn't win this time. As far as I'm concerned, I've never had one regret on any movie I've ever made. Nothing. Now, I actually like that. Like, for me, like, that's kind of how I feel about, like, look, I did the best I could at the time. I don't regret anything I did. I made the choices I made, and I move on, right? But the only thing is, it's just like... Maybe sometimes you should listen to someone. And also, like, this whole article just, I'm not going to say, look, Ridley, if you ever hear this, you won't. It's a podcast. You're like, what's a podcast? That's a millennial talk.
Who are millennials talking?
Oh, they're just millennials talking into the internet. And yes, we are. We are millennials talking into the internet. But this is also,
that's the,
like,
whole conceit of this podcast.
Entirely. But by the end of this article, I also was just like, in 1982, I made a film called Blade Runner. It was my third movie.
Yeah, we know.
We know, brah. We know.
You want to know who watched Blade Runner? Millennials.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Who made Blade Runner into a cult classic? Millennials. Pretty fucking good. I was killed by film critic Pauline Kael, who didn't even meet me. She had never met me, and I suddenly read this article in The New Yorker, which is a very classy magazine. I read it, and there's a 4-page series of insults. And I framed it. It's in my office right now. I'm like, oh, great. Why don't you tell us about some more women you hate? So Jodie Comer is
a
girl.
Knows her by name.
Knows her by name, and is mad that she's never met him? She didn't have to meet you to review your movie.
That was what he found insulting. Not that she, like, hated his movie and went on for 4 pages about it. But it's like, you didn't, like, meet me.
You didn't even know me. You didn't call me first.
It doesn't matter who you are. If critics don't necessarily fucking do a meet and greet with every single director of a movie.
Especially a fucking Blade Runner, which, by the way, was universally panned. But he picked out this one woman. So how many critics hated Blade Runner? I don't know. All of them. They all hated Blade Runner. But yet, the person who he has their review framed on his
wall
is goddamn Pauline. So I'm sorry, Ridley. Like, you've done some good things in the world. You've been made some good work. But right now, this week, I hate ya. I hate ya. And I'm not going to see House of Gucci and you can't make me. Ha! Because I'm a millennial.
I'm definitely seeing it. And I last time I saw a movie high, it was Dear Evan Hansen. And we snuck, the last time I saw a movie high was Dune. But before that, it was Dear Evan Hansen. And point is, we snuck cannolis into the movie theater. Ooh. Because we're all from New Jersey and we were like, we're going to fuck this up with some cannolis.
I need to know where you got the cannolis.
And somewhere in Pasadena, I forget.
I'm creating a ranking system for cannolis.
They weren't that good. I'm so sorry. I'm not even going to recommend this place to you.
Okay, fine.
But we went, and, like, that is the move. That's the move, you know? So I feel like if there's any movie to sneak a cannoli into...
Oh, it's yes!
House of fucking Gucci.
Oh, yes.
And I love Lady Gaga.
Oh, of course. We love Gaga. I think I'm going to have some issues with the dialect work in this film. You know what? I might see the movie. I might see it, but it won't, like, be for Ridley Scott, okay?
Everyone's like, it's not even camp. And I was like, I find it very hard to believe that Lady Gaga can have that kind of accent with those kind of costumes and jewelry and have it not be fucking camp.
I don't know.
It's camp.
Time will tell. We will find out.
Only time will tell.
I mean, maybe if it had been directed by someone who... was a little more in touch with, I don't know, women, gay people, reality. Maybe it would have been camp.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Quesera, motherfucker.
All right. Well, I hate Ridley Scott, but I don't actually. So, like, Ridley, if you want to cast me in a movie, if you want me to be your AD, like, I'll do it.
That's why I mean there's, like, a liability fucking thing.
You know what? I believe he will respect me for speaking my mind. I don't believe that because he calls women girls.
But He calls grown-ass women. Famous women who have trophies for acting.
Girls.
They're newcomer girls.
So I'm going to say probably I'm not for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Maybe I am. Maybe someday he'll respect me. Mm. Allie, what do you hate? Let's stop talking about things that are going to get me banned from my industry.
I know, right? I hate being a COVID survivor.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can you be more specific? Because when you say that, there's one thing that pops into my mind.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
So, like, someone who survived having COVID themselves.
Oh, I hate being a surviving loved one of someone who died from COVID.
Yes. I knew what you meant, but I wanted to make sure the people knew.
Yeah, so I've never had COVID to my knowledge. So what had happened was there is a new COVID variant.
So fun.
Called Omicron. Which is
Omicron. I call it Omicron.
I don't want to learn Omicron. The Greek alphabet this way.
No, me neither.
So there's a new variant called Omicron, and it's, like, more fucking fucked up than Delta, which was already pretty fucking fucked up. I got my booster. I don't care. There are infinite amounts of new variants that are going to pop up fucking constantly until we all, I don't know, potentially reach herd immunity. How, like, there's no way we're getting out of this pandemic period. And I'm starting to settle into the fact that this is just life from now on, which is really sobering. But, and there's no way to understand the crazy making gaslighting that it feels like, knowing that COVID is continuing and people don't care as much because they haven't lost someone to COVID. And if it's going to take you a death in order to care about COVID, I am sorry for your loss, but it's coming.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what it is to lose someone to COVID, because that in itself is traumatic. Like, my relationship with my father aside, losing someone to COVID is entirely traumatic in itself. Or even losing someone during the time of COVID is traumatic in itself. Oh,
yeah, because it totally fucks with your entire grieving process.
Yes. So we're getting new variants. People aren't caring. People are continuing to not get vaccines.
I think it's a weird flex. I will say that part of the issue
you
with
you knew
the,
I was sad and you came to comfort
yeah,
me.
Yeah, she did. She jumped
I
up to comfort
I love my little
Allie.
Baby.
She's a good baby. So part of the issue with the new variants is that we have to get the whole fucking world vaccinated.
Yeah.
Because as long as the developing world is not vaccinated, the new variants are going to spread and continue to change and mutate and grow.
Yeah.
All over the developing world.
And all over fucking everywhere. So yeah. Just the only thing.
We need everyone to get vaccinated.
And we need the vaccines to fucking work because, like, allegedly the vaccines in Russia just, like, aren't up to snuff and, like, they're just half vaccines. I don't know.
Oh, fun.
I cannot continue to ingest information about COVID because just imagine, just pick the closest loved one, you know, that has died. And then just imagine how much time and effort you want to spend engaging with their cause of death. And mm-hmm. then, but pretend it's a global conversation that is happening fucking constantly.
Yeah.
I am constantly being fucking like set off and I feel like I'm in a weird fucking grief prison because no one cares about COVID and everyone thinks it's an individual thing, you know, that you singular lost someone to COVID. It's like, no, we're in a global pandemic. People are dying. Oh, but it's not that bad. People are dying. Oh, it's a 99% survival rate. It's not that bad. Great. It's so bad that my dad died. You can't have that conversation with me. You need to know that you can't have that conversation with me. And yet,
or anyone who's lost someone to COVID,
or anyone, period, because like that is really dismissive and rude. That's a dismissive and rude thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
It feels crazy making. I feel like I'm in a Dante circle of hell. It feels like it's designed to be a torture chamber for anyone who's survived, and there's no way to get it. I cannot tell you anything that will make you understand. I can't tell anyone anything that will make them understand unless you're like also a COVID survivor.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't have anything helpful to say. I didn't do a research. I don't fucking care. This is my fucking feeling.
Yeah.
And anytime there's a new variant, I'm like, are you kidding? It's just going to continue to double down on itself and to get worse and to continue to mutate because we're all like, it's not that bad. And it's really sobering because it's making me realize, yeah, no one is going to care until someone very close to you dies. And how that's going to happen to everyone. Because guess what? I didn't think I was going to be in that fucking camp either. And I am.
Well, you know, I do think that one thing that it can be helpful is for just to keep fucking reminding people, you know? And like, yeah, it sucks that a lot of people don't recognize. This is just global. I mean, not global. It's perhaps an American problem, but it's not new, which is that nobody gives a shit about anything, it seems, until it happens to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why, like, we had all these people that didn't give a shit about police killings, no matter how many times you shove it in their face, you know, until, you know.
Yeah, that was also what kind of put me into a, that's actually related to COVID. That's part of what put me into an existential spiral, and I didn't really share it because it wasn't centering the Black Lives Matter movement, and that's not the conversation that needs to be had around Kyle Rittenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict came in, and I received that news at the same time that I received news that there was a potential active shooter at the high school, like two blocks from my house. And then I realized that it just the crushing weight of the fact that America is a lie kind of fell on me. And what is it lying about? It's lying about the freedoms and the kind of life that you can have and who mm-hmm.
and who can have it
and who can have it. And then I thought about my dad who came to America because he thought he was going to have this kind of life. And you know, for however bad he is at fucking business and managing his own money,
mm-hmm.
Which is another thing because capitalism is evil and you yeah. can only earn healthcare through capitalism and through gainful employment. But anyway, the fact that we don't have universal healthcare is why he didn't get help for his like brain injury. Mm-hmm. Not even injury. It's a disease. You know what? We don't even know what it fucking is. You want to know why? Because he died from fucking COVID yeah. before we could ever like really get a handle on any of it. And he died from COVID because, like, Donald Trump maybe killed my dad by being, like, aggressively negligent when it comes to, like, pandemic control. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that America killed my dad. And my dad essentially came to America to die. He came to America for a better life, and America fucking killed him. And then I went, whoa, 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 back up, back up, back up. He came to America, and you got to exist. Mm-hmm. He came to America, he met your mom, you and your little brother exist. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, what the fuck am I doing here? What am I doing here in this really fucking fucked up place? Mm-hmm. Because when you grow up as the kid of an immigrant, it's also really fucking hammered into you that you cannot say jack shit about America. Mm-hmm. That's like in any way negative, because like, how dare you? This place is amazing. Amazing for who? Number one. And then number two, I think everyone gets really fucking North Korean anytime people want to talk about like America maybe should be different, because everyone's like, oh, no, 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 no. Shh, 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 shh. No, 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 they can hear you. They'll kick you out.
They'll kick you out. Like, America's amazing like, and America's perfect. America's amazing.
Yeah.
Those, never criticize those
slave owners who wore wool in July and wrote one document one time.
That's your favorite criticism of them, is the wool in July. Is that
they wore wool in July in Philadelphia, the most humid city, and I stand by it. But everyone was like, you weren't having heat stroke. I have no notes. No notes. It's perfect. Dust it off. And that people so hold to this like fake idea of America more than they hold on to the fact that Americans are dying because of fucked up American policies that do need to be amended.
And not just policies, but American ideals.
American ideals and policies and
rugged
systems.
Individualism.
And like all of this shit. And it hasn't been so loud as it has during a global pandemic, mm-hmm. something that affects literally every single person mm-hmm. in this world. And we think our American individualism,
American exceptionalism,
is going to prevent you from dying, which is fucking stupid.
Totally stupid. I mean, also just like, no. I'm like, who? My brain just went, look at the numbers. Who are we kidding? They don't look at numbers. They don't care about numbers. And then I short circuited for a minute.
Yeah, so that was my brief existential meltdown. As I was just like, I can't justify the existing.
You know what, though? I think you – look, I mean, exist.
Thanks.
Don't unexist.
I'm not going to unexist myself.
Okay, great.
But I was like, what is the quality of my existence and what sure. am I doing with my existence?
Sure. I mean, I think I can only speak for myself.
Yes.
But the thing that gives me – some kind of solace, even in the moments where I'm like, does any of this fucking matter? Global warming is coming for us all. The thing that I do try to keep in mind.
We try.
Is that, you know, I'm one person, but I have things that I'm really good at. Mm-hmm. And I can use those things that I'm really good at to hopefully make things better for other people.
Yeah.
And to make those little steps. Now, again, will the little steps that I'm trying to take to dismantle the patriarchy, the white cis hetero patriarchy, will those come to fruition before our world goes up in a ball of flames? Probably not. But you know what? It makes me feel better while I'm here.
Yeah, for me, the ticking time bomb is just this fucking virus that's going to murder everyone until we figure out a way. Either murder you or, like, severely impact your health in a negative way.
Well, one thing I want to – well, first, I have two thoughts about that. But I also want to address what you were talking about with, like, how you can't ever say shit about America.
And especially if you're an immigrant fucking kid.
Oh, well, yeah. And especially, like, I'm going to put this on you and you can tell me if it's true or not, especially when you grew up in New Jersey as a brown-skinned person after 9/11.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But to me, it's like faith. Like, people have faith in America. They treat it almost like it's a religion sometimes.
They do.
But I think that what I don't understand, and I think this goes the same with a lot of people in their faith nowadays, is that, like, what I learned growing up is that when you really care about something, you question it. If you doubt, that means that you have faith. Because if you never doubt, then you don't really have faith. Because you don't have to have faith. You just, like, 100% believe it. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, the people who are interrogating what is America, what are American ideals, and how can we make America better, like, we're the patriotic ones. We're the ones who want to make this country as wonderful as it could be.
I know. I'm just tired.
I know. I know.
I don't want to engage with it anymore.
I know. And you don't have to.
I'm not.
You don't have to. I'm just
really
saying,
tiring.
Fuck those people.
Just because, like, the one thing that unites all of us is this fucking pandemic. And, like, you can't get anyone or everyone to really actually give a shit. When the consequence is dying, and then you think about, like, I'm sorry, my dad died.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. And then people act like the pre-existing conditions justify people's deaths. And, like everyone's like, oh, you only die if, like, these fucking things are true. And, like, you're young and you'll be fine.
You don't even know that until after you're fucking dead.
I didn't know. I didn't know I knew so many doctors.
Well, and also, you can call something a pre-existing condition, but a lot of those conditions are not known to the person.
Yeah.
Like, if I died of COVID tomorrow and they found out that I had also some other, let's say I also had diabetes and whatever, I've never been fucking diagnosed with that.
Yeah.
But like, meantime, you never know.
But meantime, pretend that, like, you know, you're your mother and you're listening to this, and then all anyone wants to talk to your mother about is how Erin had diabetes.
Yeah.
So it's fine that she died.
So it's fine.
And, like, you know, if she didn't have diabetes, she wouldn't. That's disrespectful.
Completely.
No one would. But because we're all trying to preserve our own fragile little brains and, like, try to cope with being alive, we fucking gaslight everyone who has lost someone to COVID. And it's really crazy making. And I hate it, man. Like, well, and it feels like I'm just going to keep hating it for the rest of my fucking life because this will never be over.
I think that is a very fair way to feel. And I will co-sign.
Great.
Now I want to give you two optimisms. Okay.
I didn't ask for an optimism.
Do you want one, though? No. But no. I'm going to tell you one anyway. Just one.
Fuck off.
I read a science. And it said that probably what might happen is that, yes, we might go through, like, a lot of different COVID going on and variants and whatnot. But that... This is morbid. Maybe you'll appreciate that part of it. Maybe not. I don't know. Look, I don't know, Allie. But basically, the variants that tend to survive are the ones that don't kill people and don't kill people quickly because they have a better chance in the basically evolutionary thing because they get to spread more. So it is unlikely that COVID will continue to get, like, stronger and worse. It is more likely that it will continue to get weaker and weaker.
Then why is there a variant that's stronger and worse that exists?
Look,
don't fucking do the thing that I said I hate. Like, no. Stop.
Okay, fine. Fine. Look, I don't want to read about that one because I'm not interested in knowing. But no, I think, like, but I also think that part of where that one is coming from, again, I read a science. This was a different science.
Yeah.
I read a different science that basically was like, look, this is what's going to keep happening until the developing world gets vaccinated. So on the plus side, there are efforts happening. There are patents that are, like, basically being allowed to be produced open source. Like, we're donating vaccines to a bunch of other countries because we all know Americans won't fucking take them. But as more and more of the developing world gets vaccinated, it will... I'm not saying it'll go away because I don't know that it will.
It won't.
But it might get better. I mean, to be fair, like, the common cold was once a virus like this, and it just eventually circulated and circulated and circulated and weakened and weakened and weakened. Now, will it happen in the course of our lifetimes? I don't know. I'm not a science. I just read sciences.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
Yep.
It really sucks.
I hate it. I hate it. And if you're not in the club, you're going to get there. You want to know how I know that? Because COVID exists. Sorry.
I don't want to be in the club.
You're going to join it unless it stops.
I don't want to be in the club.
Sorry.
My family is all vaccinated and they're very safe.
I know, but COVID's getting worse. It's adapting. Anyway.
Oh, God.
This is the worst transition.
It's literally the
worst.
Every
single time.
I feel like this is one of the worst ones ever, though.
Really?
Yeah, this feels really horrible. I think a lot of times you have the shitty transition, I feel like, but...
Yeah.
But also,
and, like, I'll joke my way out of it.
But it's also easier to go from, like, usually I'm not... usually I'm, like, very angry, which is easier, I feel like, to flip the switch.
Than crushing sadness and grief.
Crushing sadness and grief and, like, shit that I don't want to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's I'm fair. Like, every time I see that word, Omicron, whatever, I just X out. I go X, X, X. I can't right now.
Is it weird that I want to go like Omicron Eileen? Like, come on, Eileen. But that's too many syllables.
It's too many syllables.
I want it to work.
Omicron, you guys.
Stop. No, no.
You wanted it.
No.
Deep inside, there's a part of you that wanted it. No,
I've never listened to that soundtrack, actually.
That was from Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
I did play a game on Thanksgiving. There is my friend's roommate. I made little snippets of Broadway overtures, and then you had to guess the musical based on this like snippet from my overture.
Oh my god, I would be so good at this.
I got, I want to say like 23 right out of 35.
Wait, does this, where does this game, can I have it?
I think it's on YouTube. She just like has a list.
God,
and you can play it.
Oh my god,
it's really fun.
I would be so good at this game. This is a beautiful segue. Allie, why don't you ask me again?
Anyway, what do you love or hate to say that you love?
Oh my gosh. I hate to say it just because I'm sad that he's gone, but I love Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like surprised I'd never specifically talked about Sondheim before, but I do not believe I have.
I don't think you have either. Yeah.
Yeah. So Stephen Sondheim has left this earth. He was 93. It's okay. It happens.
He had a long life. He went out beloved by his whole entire industry.
That's right. And what a good life it was.
Yeah.
So I feel like in a sense I've felt like, and it's weird because, you know, we, Allie and I mentioned that our friend who passed, that we recently did the, went to the memorial events.
Celebration of life.
Celebration of life. And I feel like how I feel about Sondheim is like where I want to get with all my other, with like whatever other grief I have, you know? Because like, honestly, like when I found out Sondheim died, I was first of all quite surprised because apparently I hadn't been on the internet for a whole 24 hours.
Yeah. You texted me like the day after he died.
Yeah.
And I didn't text you because I had a feeling that like you had 10 group chats that would have exploded.
But no, it didn't happen. So, I found out after the fact, and I just kind of felt like, wow, I'm so grateful for the time that we had. And I didn't fucking know Sondheim. Let's make that clear from the start.
Yeah.
I'm not his friend. I'm not his lover. I'm not his, we never met. I had friends posting on Instagram, like, here's a little note that Stephen Sondheim wrote me. And I'm like, oh, he never wrote me a note.
Right.
But you know what? Like, we all shared something. He shared something with us, which was his music. And I just felt gratitude after he was gone. And I think it's a lot harder when someone is taken young and you feel like this loss of like what could have come from them, what could have happened, especially for me. And I,
or
this
taken,
is horrible.
Like, suddenly.
Yeah. And it's like, especially when it's an artist, I'm like, oh, but think about like the 20 more years of beautiful work we could have had from that person.
Yeah.
You know, like that always makes me sad. But with Sondheim, I was just like, you know what? You had a good run, bud. You did a good job.
Yeah, you gave us so many beautiful things.
So many beautiful things. And so I thought it would be nice for us to take this moment and just talk about some of our favorite Sondheim things.
Oh, fun.
I am going to talk about, first of all, the song Every Day a Little Death. I love that song so much.
What's it from?
It's from Where is My Brain? Henrik. It's from Henrik.
I don't know Henrik.
It's not, that's not the name of the show. A Little Night Music.
Oh.
Hot damn. That was sad. I had so many other Sondheim shows like floating through my head. So I love this song. It's a duet between two women. One is married. One is like maybe about to be married. And it's about like how much it sucks to be with dudes. But it's also such a clever double entendre because La Petite Mort, or A Little
Means
Death,
orgasm.
Means orgasm in French. So it's about basically how, like, these men suck. But then, like, when they touch you, So it's like a little death, both like your soul dies a little bit every day that you're married to a horrible person, which is true. Hello, married women have lower overall happiness levels and die sooner than single women.
What?
But, and the reverse is true too. Married men have much better outcomes. Thoughts, things to think about in life.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's just a true thing. And I just love that song. And it's one of those like kind of it's a female-female duet, which are pretty rare in musical theater in general.
Pretty rare in musical theater in general. And also pretty rare that it's like not a romantic song about a man. It's about right. It's about this man sucks.
It's not about like a love triangle, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love that song. It's again, I would love to play that role. Not the young ingenue role, the like a little bit older, married to a man who she knows is cheating on her, but she just keeps coming back because damn.
That dick be good.
That dick be good. And also society be fucked up. Because it's in like the 18th century?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. this is selfish. I really appreciate the invention of the patter song.
Oh my God.
And how much I used that to buoy myself aloft in high school when I had to take fucking singing for the actor.
Oh my God.
And I have such a fear of that. And I was like, you know what? I know what I can do? Talk really fucking fast.
That's
within my own speaking range. Let's fucking go, man. I am off book on fucking, what is it? Not Getting Married.
Mm.
That one got me a lot of mileage.
I'm actually quite impressed because I was working on that earlier, like just for fun, like you do, right?
It is.
Just work
fun.
On one of the most challenging Sondheim songs. It's but so fucking hard.
It's really hard.
So hard.
Yeah.
The breathing alone is like a monster.
Yeah. And because it's hard, no one ever pushed me on it.
Mm-hmm.
No one was ever like, how about you try singing? Everyone was like, that is very impressive. And that's fine.
That's fine. Do that. Just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love so many of his musicals.
And then did you know Ray Feldman?
No.
Oh. Ray used to commute in from New York with like his car that was like so old and like the trunk was held together with a bungee cord. But he was like one of the pianists at like one of the fucking piano bars. I think it was like Joe's Pub. But he drew the short straw and like taught us singing for the actor 1 year. We called it Defense Against the Dark Arts. And he was just like, Allie, at this one part, just belt it. And I was like, I have no idea what you're fucking talking about. And I have no idea how to even do that.
Well, that's actually one of my favorite things about Sondheim's music is that it's not difficult.
It's really actor friendly.
Yes. It's not difficult because it's like going to challenge your range a lot. I mean, there are a few things, sure. But that's not why it's hard. Like, it's not like, okay, and now you have to belt an E or an F or a G, like a lot of modern musical theater is. It's not hard because of that. It's hard because of the rhythms and the notes aren't exactly what you think they should mm-hmm. be. But once you have all that, like, everything you need as an actor is right there.
Yeah.
Which I feel like a lot of...
He gives you so much with, like, the words and, like, it's musically supported and...
And I feel like there are a lot of, you know, I'm not going to call anybody out by name, but there are a lot of modern musical theater writers who I feel like are writing for like the impressive part.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
who are like, who can belt the highest? Or like, listen to this run. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, but why? But why? And this is some shit I learned in college because I came in being like, but look at all these runs I can do and look how high I can belt. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait a minute. Why is that justified, though? Like, if I'm doing a run, why?
Yeah.
And everything in Sondheim's music is justified. And to me, like, some of the best performers of it are not necessarily the best singers in the world.
That's true. I always appreciate that about musical theater performers. I do not care if your voice is incredibly impressive if you're not doing a good acting.
Like, Elaine Stritch, famous for her Sondheim, you know, Ladies Who Lunch. She's not a great singer.
Yes. Ethel Merman. I don't know if she did. Did she do Sondheim?
She did some things that were partly Sondheim at the beginning of his career. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Bernadette Peters. She's got a weird voice. Let's be honest. She's got a weird voice. But holy shit.
But what not like surprised me is just it's because my favorite Sondheim is Sweeney Todd. But when
The ensemble numbers.
So good. But when he passed, the musical everyone was like clinging to and like really celebrating is Sunday in the Park with George. Because you have a lot of really strong music about the act of making art.
Yes.
And that I think in the moment of his death really spoke to like the gift that he gave us, but it's like in his own words.
That's so funny because the other one I've been seeing is a lot of like Into the Woods, which obviously is one of his more popular ones.
That's
But because there's a lot about death and grief in that musical, in that fairy tale. There's a lot of real human shit about death and grief. And I think that's really what we all latched onto with Sondheim is that he could write a musical that was set, you know, a little night music is based on some like German lieder singers in the 18th century, early 19th century, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like The Frogs is set in ancient Greece. That's what you say. We've got Into the Woods, which is a fairy tale, but every single one of them is really about like being human.
Yeah.
And like grief and want and joy and also like the things we miss out on in life.
Assassins is fun.
Fucking Assassins. Look, the only reason that show didn't do better is because it opened on September 11th, 2001.
That show opened on September 11th, 2001.
I don't know if it opened on that day, but like it was opening right around there and it did not run very long because no one wanted to see a thing about killing American presidents.
Yeah.
Anyway, Passion. Ugh, I love all the lesser known shows too.
You do.
Also, my favorite musical of all time is probably West Side Story.
Really?
To which Sondheim provided the lyrics.
I don't necessarily fuck with West Side Story.
You know what?
I'm really excited to see the Spielberg version for sure.
Let's get high and just listen to the overture.
Down. I mean, like, it's great music. I love Gershwin.
It has the best orchestrations. It's Bernstein.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I can be wrong.
It has the best orchestrations and like, oh, it's like a fucking symphony, but with lyrics by Sondheim.
No, it's great. It's musically great. I'm just, for story, not my favorite.
That's fine. It's Romeo and Juliet. You're allowed to hate it. It's fine. It's kind of dumb. Romeo and Juliet's kind of dumb. Wish they had made different choices. Okay.
Yeah.
So some of you may have seen my Insta. I did post me singing a Sondheim song. So if you're like interested in that kind of thing, go look at it. But it's a cut from a song that is a not very well-known song. It's called So Many People. It's originally from Saturday Night, I believe. Oh my God. And Evening Primrose has some of the, that was a TV special in the 1970s. A lot of beautiful songs in that one. Anyway, point being, the song So Many People has this, so I posted a clip of me singing it on Instagram, but it was an audition cut. And I was in my bathroom today and I was just thinking through the lyrics of the actual song. And there's this one line that like, it's like almost cheesy, but so clever in that way that so many of Sondheim's lyrics are just so like stupidly clever sometimes.
Mm.
It's like this whole thing about like, I knew the man for me would have a castle. He was going to be this great, amazing, a man of means, a man with money, and da-da-da-da. And then I met this man who hadn't any, without a penny to his name. And then anyway, it goes through like the rest of the verse. And the end of the verse is, I guess the man means more than the means. And I was just like, that's such a fucking Sondheim line.
That's a really good turn of phrase.
It's a great turn of phrase. It brings the whole verse back around to where it started, to the for the actor to have a whole fucking journey of discovery. Like, oh, I started off and this is what I thought. And then at the end, my discovery is, I guess the man means more than the means. And it's just like, what? So smart. So good. I could talk about Sondheim for hours.
He lived a great life.
He lived a great life.
Have you seen the video of like the Broadway community singing Sunday on the TKTS steps?
No, because I thought that would maybe make me too sad.
Yeah, it's going to make you real sad.
Okay, great. I'll watch it when I'm prepared for sadness.
Because then you can like see everybody like grieving.
Also, guys, I do not, absolutely do not have a downloaded version of one of the birthday concerts from a couple years back. I believe it might have been the 80th birthday concert. I don't have that. So if you don't want to see it, definitely don't DM me.
Okay.
Okay.
I won't do that.
It's so good, but I definitely don't have it, and I didn't get it from a stranger on the internet.
All right.
Allie, what do you love?
I hate to say it, but I love Diet Goddamn Coke, Nectar of the Gods.
Oh my God, Diet Coke. That was shocking. I'm shocked.
Why are you shocked that I love Diet Coke?
I've never seen you drink Diet Coke.
Are you fucking kidding?
I mean, maybe I have when you lived here.
Yeah, you saw me drink it fucking today.
Okay, but it was in another cup. How was I to know it was Diet Coke in there?
Diet Coke.
You didn't, like, ever keep Diet Coke in our fridge.
No, because when I lived with you, we were on an extreme LaCroix kick, and we had a whole LaCroix shelf.
Tis true.
Like, that was different. And we were also little bitches who were trying to be skinny.
Fair.
You know?
Yeah.
And Diet Coke, surprise, makes you fatter, but you want to know what?
It does.
I don't care.
It makes you crave sugar.
I don't care. I love it. I love the taste of it. What does
you
it taste like?
Aspartame.
Chemicals. Chemicals. It tastes like poison.
Yeah.
It tastes like poison and sugar and...
But not sugar. It's fake sugar.
And bubbles and caramel. And I don't fucking care. And I love that I love Diet Coke. And I love that I drank it as a child. And I love how people get really fucking freaked out when I tell them that I drank Diet Coke when I was probably 5. It's a comfort food for me. That gets to be my comfort food.
Whatever.
There are so many things in life that are so fucked up. And Diet Coke brings me joy. As soon as the pandemic happened, I was like, let me get an industrial size pack of Diet Coke for my fucking house.
Wow.
And I got one. It was really nice.
You know, Diet Coke is not my thing, but you know what I do fucks with, which is on the exact same level?
Orange soda?
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Love DDP.
Love DDP.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Because I know in our friend Caroline's book, she's like, why are you drinking, you know, Diet Coke when you could be drinking regular Coke? Like,
sometimes regular Coke.
She was like, let's investigate why we're drinking Diet Coke as opposed to regular Coke.
Coke is too sweet sometimes.
Regular Coke is too sweet. Diet Coke tastes like chemicals. I enjoy being fake poisoned.
Great.
Give it to me. That sounds really fucking great. And I hate that I did drink Diet Coke today, but I hated that I needed to, like, eat fast food because I don't have groceries in my house. And I have like this weird brain gap where I think like, you know, spending around $60 or $70 on groceries is going to bankrupt me, but I can buy myself like a $10 meal 7 days a week.
You know what?
It makes literally no sense.
It doesn't, but it does. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it does.
It doesn't, but it does. I don't know why this makes sense, but point is, like, I couldn't put dinner together at my house. I had to grab dinner on the way here, and, like, the silver lining to eating fast food that I didn't want to be eating that I wound up offloading on Rob. Is that you get Diet Coke. You get that fast food Diet
That's
Coke.
Right. Ooh,
which is like
from the fountain.
The most elite form of Diet Coke.
Absolutely. It's the most elite form of almost any soda.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It is an elite experience. And it is the bottom of the barrel when it comes to classism. But I do not care. I feel fucking good if I get like a fast food Diet Coke.
Great.
That shit slaps. That's my favorite. You want to know what it tastes like? Third grade.
I have sent, and you probably know this, I have sent my partner on emergency Diet Dr. Pepper runs before.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, it's an emergency. I need a Diet Dr. Pepper now.
Yeah.
Go to the bodega. The gentrification bodega.
The gentrification bodega.
Where the Diet Dr. Pepper will
like
$3.
Be $3.
Yeah. Yes, it will.
We've shopped at the same bodega.
You know what I had over the holiday, though?
What?
This is, like, opposite land. I got myself a case of vanilla Coke.
Oh, I fuck with vanilla Coke.
I don't like just regular Coke, but you put a fucking flavor in it.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, Erin, the AMC, we both have A-list. You know the, like, soda machinis?
Yeah.
If you click Diet Coke, you get all the different flavors of Diet Coke. So you can have a vanilla and also a poison.
You know what I used to be obsessed with? And this is a whole different thing. Totally different. Diet Pepsi Lime.
Wow, very different.
Very different.
No, it's not.
No, it's totally
no,
different.
No, but I remember when they happened because we had, like, cases of it in my house. It was, like,
dude,
the twist with lime, the
Diet
twist with
Pepsi
lemon.
Diet Pepsi Lime it was like I lived on that. Now, did I have an eating disorder? Yes, probably.
Yeah.
Because I did mostly live on Diet Pepsi Lime. But God damn it if it didn't taste good.
It's real good. It's real, real good, man. Shit. Yeah, I would continue to drink that, like, whatever my body looked like, whatever kind of diet I happened to be on, which, for the record, will be no diet.
Ever.
We don't do that again.
I'm going to go on a diet. It's called amphetamines that are going to make my appetite go away.
It's really fucking good.
Thank you for bringing this to the court today, Allie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Made me feel good. Made me feel good about my Thanksgiving choice of Coke vanilla.
We vanilla love a Coke vanilla.
Coke vanilla. It looks like it says Coke vanilla, but it should be vanilla Coke. And I also probably have a case of DDP in the other room.
Yeah, I mean, I really love fucking Diet Coke, but that's my shit. Anyway, how do you feel? Boom!
Whoa!
Closed it! Close the segment! Boom!
Wow. Wow. You got me.
Sneak attack.
You definitely snuck attacked me.
Sneak attacked?
I like snuck attacked.
I don't know the proper verb tense.
I don't care.
You know what? Anyone who gets up on grammar is a classist.
Oh, God. I'm a classist. We already knew
this. If it does not get in the way of comprehension, you're being classist.
You know what? Don't care.
That's the hill I'll die on.
Love grammar. I'm a grammar nerd.
Why? Because it makes you feel better than other people?
Happy. Because it makes people understand what you mean to say. Especially when you're writing. Anyway. I'm not going to argue with you about grammar today.
Okay.
But on a later date. Let's put a pin in
Bookmark
this.
Bookmark it.
Put a pin in this.
Bookmark it. How we'll do have I feel? Class war.
I feel great. I feel very happy that you're here. Mm-hmm. I was here all week. You were here all week, but I wasn't.
Yes.
I feel like Shay the dog is literally living her best life because all she seemed to want after we got home, like she would still be like laying on the couch in between both of us crying. And I was like, I think she wants Allie to be here too.
She does. She loves it when all three of her people are together. Yes. Like, she's so peaceful right now.
This is her best life.
Okay, so I was here for a week, and I bribed the dog with outfits twice. And then once, when she ate her own poop, I took a bandana off of her. And I was like, you look naked. Don't you feel stupid? Don't you feel fucking stupid? But the hoodie she's in right now has a zip, and she has, like, a barrel chest.
Yes.
She's a linebacker.
And I'm the only one who knows how to zip her hoodies properly.
I zipped this one good. But she was fucking around and it became unzipped and she was like snuggled into me and I saw it had come off of one of her paws and it was just like hanging on the side. And I was like, let me just take this off of you. And I held it in my hands and she put both of her paws on top of my hands and was like, you will put that back on my body. And I was like, all right.
This bitch loves
clothes.
She loves clothes. And everyone, I know what they think when they look at me.
Yeah.
I know what they think when I'm walking my fucking pit bull around the neighborhood in a goddamn hooded sweatshirt. I know what they're thinking.
Everyone's like, this was your idea. It wasn't.
It was not my idea. The bitch loves clothes. What can I say? I'm so glad you captured it on video. She chooses her own outfits.
Yeah, she has an opinion.
She very much has an opinion. And thank you for capturing that.
I did.
Anyway, Allie, how do you feel?
I feel like I really have to pee, which is kind of why I closed my segment.
Great. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Let's be done and let's go pee.
We love peeing.
We love peeing.
We are continuing to spam all of your social media.
Yeah.
There is a TikTok account, Aaron and Allie. There is an Instagram account, Aaron and Allie. There is a YouTube channel, Aaron and Allie as well.
Also,
we are nothing
Aaron
if
and
not
Allie.
Consistent.
We are Aaron and Allie. I said this to Allie, but I'm going to say it to y'all too. Thank God Allie has a weird spelled name, because boy, did I just get all those handles, because no one else spells your name that way.
Yeah.
A-L-I-E-E.
God.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
And I love that for me, because I invented that spelling when I was 13 and made a really big stink about it. And now I have to live with that the rest of my life.
Now you have to live with that.
And what a fun, good thing to honor the 13-year-old inside of you for the rest of your life. Like, I have to consistently honor that weird fucking child.
Yes, you do. I kind of love it. I'm at Aaron the
Rye.
I'm
not mad at it. I'm at Allie Chan. It's my name. It's spelled really weird.
Yep. And you can email us, AaronandAllie@gmail.com.
Yeah, we'll read whatever you send us. You can send us a voice memo if you want to speak for yourself.
Oh, we love it when you speak for yourself. But we are also happy to do a dramatic reading.
We love that. The year is closing. So now is the time to offload all of your 2021 baggage. And what a better way to do that than just to give it to us.
Send us what you hated
it to the bitch pile.
From 2021.
Oh, yeah, because we have to do a New Year's special.
We're going to have to do a year in review and a New Year's
special. And a Christmas special.
And a Christmas. We have a lot of shit coming
up. We've been doing this for like 4 years, and I'm continually surprised. I'm like, oh, right. We have things that we do.
We have things that we do. We usually do a holiday special. So if you have a special holiday hate, send it in. If you have a special thing you hated from all of 2021, send us your list of your top 10 hates. We love it. We love all of it.
Yep.
And we will be that receptacle for your negative feelings.
It's what we're here for.
Just as we are for each other.
Yes.
Well, I'm Erin.
And I'm Allie.
And we hate everything.
She's snoring. It's so cute.
And I decided not to because I was like, well, I love you so fucking much. So much.